Here's Skip Heitzig to explain why the Bible can be considered as God's biography.
I love a good biography. I'm reading one right now on the life of Augustine. I love reading how a life was formed and decisions made, and it's very inspiring to read a biography, but every biography must have a biographer. And the Bible is filled with biographers, people who interacted with God, and they wrote about what they observed, what God said to them, what God did for them. We have in this book a true biography of God.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
In the classic Peanuts cartoons with Charlie Brown and the gang, the adults and teachers never had any dialogue. Instead, they made a strange, indistinguishable wah-wah sound that was actually produced by a trombone. Sometimes we may feel the same way about hearing from God, that all we can ever really hear is odd wah-wah noises that we need to do our best to interpret. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig explains how we can hear more clearly from God. But before we start with that, we want to invite you to help us take the gospel to the whole world that needs to hear it.
The Central American nation of Belize has the second largest offshore reef in the world and most extensive cave system in all of Central America. It also has 127 offshore keys, numerous rivers for rafting and kayaking, wildlife reserves, and of course, miles of gorgeous Caribbean beaches. All of these factors and more draw tourists and thrill-seeking adventurers from all over the globe. But these thrills are short-term. The ultimate joy in life is to know eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Lighthouse Christian Radio Broadcasting from San Pedro and also heard in Belize City. It is here that The Connection and other Bible-based programs are bringing hope and truth about the real paradise of heaven.
The Connection has Lighthouse Christian Radio. They have a huge impact on the community out there. Everybody knows who that is, and they give away those free radios where it only tunes into the one radio station, and it's a solar power. So kids are just dying to get their hands on those.
You can help the ministry of The Connection reach the people of Belize and other nations around the world with a gospel as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to be a member, and when you sign up, we'll also send you a new teaching each month. Help us share the good news of God's love with people all over the world as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month, but that small amount may make an eternal difference. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
You can find out more about Global Connectors at 1-800-922-1888. You know, most of us would very much like to hear clearly from God, but short of Him speaking to us in an audible voice, how do we do that? Well, that's what we'll discover in today's study.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles once again to Psalm chapter 19. Let's join Skip Heitzig as he begins today's study by reminding us that the words we use aren't always the words other people hear.
Words don't always translate from one language to another language. Advertisers have found that out the hard way. When Coca-Cola wanted to advertise in China because of the growing market, they promoted Coca-Cola, and they were told to pronounce it K-Ku-Ke-La. And so they put out thousands of banners and posters that people should drink Ko-Ke-Ke-La. And they found out that it doesn't translate all that well, that term means female horse stuffed with wax in Chinese. Pepsi-Cola also decided to launch in China. And their slogan was, "Come alive with the Pepsi generation," only it translates when the test market was in Taiwan. It translates, Pepsi will bring your ancestors back from the dead. Kentucky Fried Chicken also launched in China with their finger-licking good slogan. It came out as, eat your fingers off in Chinese. When General Motors introduced the Chevy Nova years ago to a South American audience, they didn't know why the sales went so poorly. And they discovered that in Spanish, Nova means it won't go. No wonder they didn't sell anything. A Coors put out its slogan, turn it loose in Spanish. It was read, suffer from diarrhea. That may be the only honest slogan there. Communication can get lost in translation and repetition. Have you noticed? Have you ever done that experiment? You get 10 people in a room, you whisper a story, fill it with enough facts, it's told to the next person, to the next person. By the time it comes out with the 10th person, it's a very different story than what was started. That's why the book that you and I hold in our hands, this Bible, amazes us. It shows itself to be very different in its communication. And we've started a series, as the banner behind me suggests, called The Biography of God. I love a good biography. I'm reading one right now on the life of Augustine. I love reading how a life was formed and decisions made, and it's very inspiring to read a biography, but every biography must have a biographer. And the Bible is filled with biographers, people who interacted with God, and they wrote about what they observed, what God said to them, what God did for them. We have in this book a true biography of God. Now, last week, I said that there was a time in my life where I walked outside, cocked my head back, and I said, how can I know that God exists? What's funny is I never thought once to crack open a Bible. We had a Bible in our house. It was huge. It was, you know, those two-ton family Bibles. It took a crane to move from one room to the next. We never read it. We never consulted it. It was never a family reading thing. The only thing I did is look at the pictures. It had a lot of great pictures. But even the people in the pictures looked nothing like anybody I knew, except they must have liked Frisbee, I thought, as a child, because they all had glowing Frisbees behind all their heads in these pictures. Well, in our first study, we saw the obvious things, that God exists and that God is personal. And if you want to know him, it takes faith and pursuit. That was Hebrews 11. And then last week in our second study, we looked at the clues that God has left in this world to discover that there is a God. Even if we have no Bible at all, how we can look for a cause. We can look at the universe and we can look within the conscience, the moral law. We can discover there's a God. But we need more than that. We need a biography. We need a testimony of a biographer. Now, the Bible indicates that God has spoken in a variety of ways. That's how Hebrews opens up. God spoke in many ways at many times in the past. But of all the ways that God has chosen to communicate himself, you can actually put them in two categories. You could label one natural, and you could label the other supernatural. Or maybe even better yet, label one general revelation and the other special revelation. And that's what we want to consider today more than the first is the second. We touched briefly on the first general revelation last week, though we're going to tip our hats to it this morning. We want to deal with the first or with the second. So one is the big book of the universe. The other is the little book of the Bible. Psalm 19 has both of those as the subject matter. And David, who wrote the psalm, wants you to know that both general revelation of God's creation and the special revelation of God's word, they both point to God and they do not contradict each other. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, he is wisest who reads both the world book and the word book as two volumes of the same work and feels concerning them My father wrote them both. So let's look at the first six verses just briefly, because we spent more time with that last time. And notice the contrast, at least, and how God speaks generally to specifically. Now, I want you especially to notice the descriptions of how the universe speaks to us. It says, the heavens, here it is, declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. David spent a lot of time outside. He was a shepherd boy. He got to put his head on a rock and lay down and look at the bright stars. There was no light pollution around where he lived. There was no smog. You know, we are disadvantaged. We don't spend quite the same amount of time in the outside environment as the ancients used to. We live in a house. It's controlled by air conditioning and heating. It's temperature controlled. We got our music. And then we walk just a few feet to our car, which is also temperature controlled and covered. And our music is there and our cell phone. And we live very protected lives. They live very exposed life. And they were able to look and observe the heavens and the world around them more than we do. And David said, the world that I live in and all of its universe spread out speaking to me. He heard it. God exists and he's glorious. Now, we've been listening to the skies for a number of years, but we're listening for voices from aliens. Harvard University put out a receiving dish 85 feet in diameter just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And USA Today said it's part of the most extensive search conducted for intelligent life in outer space. It allows scientists to listen to and analyze 128,000 frequencies at once, 24/7. David is saying the heavens are already blabbering. They're already talking. There's a gossip going on just looking at the heavens of the glory of God, of its creator. Notice in verse 2, it says, day unto day utters speech. If you have a New International Version, it's more accurate. It says, pours forth speech. It's translating a very strong Hebrew word that uses as an image a gushing spring pouring out refreshing water of God's revelation. You'll notice also that it's not a one-time deal, that God is speaking through the universe continually. Day after day, it says, night after night, these silent preachers are telling us about God and his glory and his creativity and his majesty. It's giving us a message. Every single day, every week, every month, every year, year after year, it's as if one day passes the baton to the next day and the revelation continues. Not only that, but notice it's universal. It says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That means there's no culture, there's no nation that is exempt from this communication. Doesn't matter if you live in the jungles, if you live in the deserts, if you live in the mountain communities, if you live by the sea, there is enough information in the natural world to let anybody know there is a God. No wonder Paul writes in Romans 1, therefore they are without excuse. The heavens are speaking, the world is speaking. But it's not enough. We need more information than that. We need a biography. Sure, the heavens tell us there's a God who's intelligent and creative and powerful. But it doesn't tell us much more than that. It doesn't tell us why we're here. It doesn't tell us what his plan is for us. It doesn't tell us where we're going once we die. None of that is heard of or seen by observing the natural world. So though it is a revelation of God, it is a speech of God, it's not perfect. And so what David does, beginning in verse 7, is he shifts the focus from general to special. And notice the noun change. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord, another statement of God's scripture, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's pretty easy to see that the first six verses, he's looking up at the world book. And beginning in verse 7, he's looking at the word book, the statutes, the testimony, the law, the commandments. And notice the descriptions. It's perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous altogether. These are moral qualities exhibited in the scripture that are not present in nature. In other words, these scriptures are a trustworthy biography. The Bible tells you the rest of the story, what creation does not. And that's why you can never say, well, let's forget going to church and reading the Bible. All we have to do is go camping. We can hug a few rocks and look at the stars. God is speaking through that. You can get some information from that, but you can't get enough information from that. There's more. I love what Peter said. Peter was there and saw a glorious display of Jesus transfigured before him and a few of his buddies on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, look, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw that glory. But then he says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, what I saw with my eyes of the glory of God can't even compare to what is revealed here in this sure word of prophecy. So, the natural world tells us of the glory and power of God, but it does not tell us of the plan of God, nor of the love of God. So, what can this book, this biography of God, revealed in the scripture, what can it tell us? What can it do for us? Well, according to the psalmist, in verse 7, it can save the soul. That's the first step. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It means to bring back or to restore. Listen, in the Bible, you can be confronted with enough truth to convert you. There's enough truth here to bring you back, to restore you back to God. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It means complete. The Hebrew word tamim, completed, or sound, or whole. Several years ago, when I first met, I met my first Messianic Jew. A Jewish person raised with the Old Testament gave his life to Christ. And I was talking to him and I said, what is it you believe in? I'll never forget this. He said, I am a completed Jew. I never heard that term before until then. I said, explain what that means. He goes, well, all the promises that God would send a Messiah have been fulfilled in Yeshua, in Jesus, and I believe in him, and because I do, I see myself as a completed Jew. I love that description. Well, everybody in that sense needs to be completed or converted, and the scriptures will give you the information to do that. I hope you own a Bible. I know that sounds very elementary, but I hope you own one. I hope you have your own Bible, and I hope that you carry it to church. I'm not down on you if you forgot your Bible today. Don't worry about it. We got them scattered around. But buy one. It's your Bible. Read from it. My hope would be every single day. And find out where things are that you'll need in the days ahead. In fact, I hope you'll write in it. I know that's sacrilegious to some, but underline things and circle words and write notes in it, because it's not a religious relic. It's a spiritual tool for your maturity. And it can convert the soul. Peter said in the Bible, or in God's truth is everything we need for life and godliness. You don't need to go anywhere else for the needs of your soul than right here. And the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why? Because it's tamim, it's complete, gives you all you need. That's the first thing it can do, and that's the first step. It can convert your soul. Second, it can satisfy your mind. Also in verse 7, notice, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word simple means open-minded. Are you open-minded? I know a lot of people that when it comes to life, they're open-minded. When it comes to this book, a door goes down instantly. Oh, that's the Bible. It's not accurate. Well, how do you know? Tell me your research personally and how you know so much. Their mind goes down. There is a description of the Bible, a definition of the Bible from an old Russian dictionary as this, quote, the Bible is a collection of fantastic legends without any scientific support. It's full of dark hints, historical mistakes, and contradictions. It serves as a factor for gaining power and subjugating unknowing nations. Close quote. Talk about propaganda. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because you see, the Bible, this biography of God, exhibits certain characteristics that no other book exhibits.
Well, sure, it might be easier for us if God just spoke in an audible voice anytime we had a question or he wanted to tell us something. But most of us would probably be so frightened by that we wouldn't be able to do what he was asking anyway. As it is, God has several very clear means of communication with us, but it only works if we're willing to listen. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, tomorrow is Halloween. And if you think the occult has a lot of influence on that one day of the year, you might be surprised by what's revealed in Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil.
The American culture is undergoing some very disturbing shifts in values. Listen to Steve Russo.
We've become so desensitized to violence and rudeness and wickedness, and it's all about what I can get for me. It's like we don't care. It's like there are no moral absolutes anymore.
How has the media's obsession with the occult contributed to this shift? In Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, learn how a fascination with movements like Wicca and overindulgence in all sorts of media is having a damaging effect on today's youth.
I've heard too many times kids and parents even telling me, well, you know, Twilight is about good vampires. He's a good vampire because he's a good-looking guy, and this is really a romance. Again, we have lost the concept of a holy God, a pure God, and we've totally, almost totally abandoned, in many cases, the significance of the blood of Christ.
Order Fear No Evil by Steve Russo for just $15 when you contact The Connection at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Our society, and especially our young people, are being misled by interest in the wrong kind of spiritualism. With Halloween right around the corner, it's time for the church to do something about it.
Halloween is not going to go away. There are a couple different ways to approach it. One is completely ignore it and have nothing to do with it, and I think that's everybody has that the right to make that decision. I think it's foolish because it's a great opportunity to do evangelism, and that's the heart of the evangelist coming out of me.
Do you know someone fascinated with vampires? Vampires, Wicca, and so-called nice witches? Well, they need to read Fear No Evil by Steve Russo. Order today for just $15. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Looking around at our culture today reveals there's a growing interest and fascination with things like Wicca and vampires. Hi, this is Skip Heitzig, and I hope you'll take advantage of this month's offer, Fear No Evil, so you can learn more about the truth behind these movements and figures of the occult. Get your copy today by calling 1-800-922-1888.
Well, thanks, Skip. And this is the last day we'll be mentioning that book, Fear No Evil, by Steve Russo. So find out more at our website, connectionradio.org, or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. That's also the number to call if you want to contact us for a copy of today's teaching. It's just $6, including shipping. You can also order it when you visit connectionradio.org or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Continue to explore the way God speaks to us and how we can learn to listen when we continue this study next time on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.